To put it in a nutshell, I think it satisfies, first of all, why the Air Force initially, in that very first day that the story was reported, put out two such diametrically opposed versions of what had happened. Because that dialectic, that dialectic between an extraterrestrial extraordinary thing and a purely terrestrial, very trivial, mundane thing, has more or less persisted, Ian, in most of the Roswell research since then. It's the people that fall into the cracks, like Nick Redfern or myself, that are saying, no, it's both extraordinary and terrestrial, and there has to be, therefore, a reason or rationalization as to why the American military panicked over this incident, as I think they clearly did. And my explanation is, well, if it's 2 years after the end of World War II and something Nazi crashes in the New Mexico desert, and it clearly is not representative of an American black project, then yes, that's going to get the American military to panic, because it means that somebody out there, a supposedly defeated enemy, has possession of a technology that can enter American airspace over our most sensitive defensive installations with impunity. And I want to add to that something I thought of during the break. In the intelligence collection memorandum that is cited by the Roswell researchers themselves, but again, I stress, cited in a faked version that is deliberately spun to point to extraterrestrials. In the original version, as I've pointed out, it points the finger ultimately to Nazi Germany. But there's something else, and this is where the details get very interesting. Because in that intelligence collection memo, the general drawing it up, his name is Brigadier General Shulgin. In his collection memorandum, he is pointing out that he wants his intelligence agents to gather intelligence on any sort of jet-propelled saucer that is able to suction the boundary layer. And the boundary layer is simply that little tiny thin molecule or two thick layer of air that is on the wing of an airplane, okay?
Right.
And the key to suctioning the boundary layer, that's kind of the holy grail of aerodynamics, because what that would do is it would tremendously reduce drag. It would be making an airplane kind of like a wet bar of soap to try and grab onto. It just slips out of your hand. It would slip through the atmosphere just like that. And this to me, Ian, is very, very telling, because one of the areas that the Nazis were working at precisely at Peenemünde was a separate project completely apart from von Braun in building these types of aircraft that would suction the boundary layer and that would be more or less like a flying saucer. One of these scientists, and I put his patent into Roswell in the Reich, is a fellow by the name of Rudolf Fleissner, who took out a patent in 1955, right about the same time the Air Force is interviewing Dr. Richter down in Argentina.
Weird.
Yeah, which is weird. Again, you know, we have all of these little synchronicities here,
right,
you know, that are pointing the finger toward the Nazis. But Fleissner takes this patent out in the middle of the 1950s, and the patent takes 5 years to be actually granted. But Fleissner came out when he took out this patent and said that this is based on the type of research that they were doing in Nazi Germany. In other words, suctioning the boundary layer, a jet-propelled type of flying saucer, and so on and so forth. So again, the document itself points to Nazi Germany. So we have all of these things pointing the finger to Nazi Germany. That, I think, is why the military panicked, because they realized they were dealing with an enemy that wasn't dead, and they had their hands on some pretty sophisticated technology.